WCJRU, 1280 AM in Toronto.
In a world lost to ignorance and confusion, three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they fell off a cliff. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
Good evening and welcome to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil for this Tuesday, November 15th, broadcasting to you live on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto, Canada, where it's still warm and beautiful outside, and streaming to you live on the web at songtalk.ca/livestream. Now, Song Talk Radio is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. Brand new songwriters or established professionals, we share tips, techniques, and other cool things we find, and hopefully together, we all become a little bit better at writing songs. I am your host, Bruce Harrett, and joining me tonight, as always, the intrepid members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team. We have little figurines coming out in the spring. Mr. Phil Emery.
That's me.
And normally we'd have Neil Modi in the host chair, but tonight he's in the drummer and producer and co-write chair. Hi, Neil.
Hello.
And kindly filling in for tonight for Phil in the co-host position. For Neil, yeah, Phil's here, and so are you. It's very confusing tonight. Is the award-winning, and he's winging too. He's an award-winning singer-songwriter, Mr. Patrick Ballantyne.
Good evening, yay, everybody.
Welcome, Patrick. And bravely managing our social media onslaught, Vanessa Vreeland.
Yay, Vanessa.
She's in the other room. We're waving at her.
Yes.
And on the board tonight, we have Phil.
That's me. I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff.
Switches, yeah.
I'm trying to find my pen at the moment.
Here, have this one. He's versatile.
Yes, I am.
He's getting his pen. All right. During the show, join in the conversation. Send your comments and questions to at Song Talk Radio on Twitter, and we'll share them with the audience in real time, as opposed to
fake time.
Right. Okay. And please stop by our website at songtalk.ca and find out how you could be a guest on our show. And tonight, we have a very special guest. There's three of them, actually. Tonight, our guest is Beige Shelter, an ambitious and eclectic alternative indie rock band which aims to bring hearts, souls, and fire together with their passionate music. Ooh, I'm looking forward to this. They're going to heat up our little studio here. Now, Beige Shelter was formed in 2014 by Adi Aman. Aman?
Yeah, that's me.
Aman. Thank you.
Aman.
Neil Modi joined the band, our own. Neil Modi joined the band as percussionist and drummer, followed by Tom Kuczynski on bass, and then Karan Sabawal on lead guitar. Karan could not be here tonight. He's at school or something.
Yes, he's actually in school.
Yes. Yeah. So Beige Shelter's music ranges from soft, tender, and mellow to angry, intense, and electric, with the goal of evoking the full range of human emotions, as opposed to animal emotions. Is there human... Addy wrote this. The full range of human emotions, and we're going to hear some tonight. Now, that we have this is important news now. The release of Beige Shelter's debut album, Rumors We Make, Paths We Take, written and produced by Adi Aman and Neil Modi, was launched yesterday. Is that correct?
Yes.
On Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Amazon Music, and many others, much like my album. And you should catch their soon-to-be-a-hit single. And their music video, Dark Horse, now on YouTube. Check that out. This is a really well-made video. This is their very first video. They look like stars already.
That's
a great video. Great. Well done.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You want to shout out to the guy who shot that for you?
Yeah. I'd like to shout out to Akil Kamble. He is a visionary director. Like, he's very creative. I've known him for a long time. He's the CEO or one of the main heads for Renegade Films.
Renegade Films.
So he has a lot of experience under his belt.
It looked really good.
I'd recommend him to anybody.
Did he give you a good deal?
You know, old friends deal.
I bet he did. Okay.
Hey, well. We got a tweet in from Janice. Oh,
Janice Ho.
Yay. Go team, listening in and excited to hear Beige Shelter on the air tonight. Thanks, Janice.
Cool. Janice Ho was, of course, our longtime Media, social media maven.
Janice,
here.
Are you back in town?
Yes, she is. Is she back in town?
Or
oh, she's back. She's back. So I'll give our listeners, because a lot of our listeners, Mike was in last week, and he's a big fan of Janice, so remember?
Oh, yes.
I think he's actually in love with her. But Janice,
we all are.
We'll just leave it at that. Many people are, but Janice Ho is a wonderfully talented singer-songwriter herself, and she's also been in Italy working on one of those farms, WOOF, it's called, World Organization of Organic Farms, and you go and you work, and they give you room and board. Now she's off to a little farm north of Toronto for the winter. I don't know what they're doing. How can you farm in the winter? Anyway, they're going to have fun.
Bruce, I'd like to give a shout-out to her. Like, Janice, for people who have not seen her yet, she is a force to be reckoned with. I mean, she is amazing live. She has a very soulful voice. I've had the good fortune of seeing her twice, and both times I was blown away.
And she's on the internet, too, Janice Ho, H-O.
Exactly, yeah.
You can find her there. So let's talk about your band, you guys. So when did the band actually gel and form together, all four of you? Was that this year?
So, what happened was I started working with Neil for producing Rumors We Make, Paths We Take. At the time, I didn't know what the name of the album was. You know, it had a different name, actually, at the time. And, through Neil, I met Tom Kuczynski on bass. And, you know, I'm very, very thankful to have him. And Karan, he's actually the younger brother of one of my very, really good friends. Actually, both of them are really good friends of mine. So it's just so happened. Within the span of a year, we just formed, and you know, once we got together, it was as if we'd been playing for a while. You know, we didn't really have to struggle, right?
So it was a kind of a magic happening there.
You could say like, what's the word for it? Chemistry. Exactly. Yeah. That's what it is, right?
Well, a lot of our listeners have probably co-written or played in bands, and you can't make that happen. That's a personality thing, a style thing, you know, attitude thing. So that's great. Yeah, I've heard you live a few times. You're sounding better and better.
Thank you so much.
Now, who takes on the songwriting role in the band?
So for our first album, I wrote, with the exception of one, and by the way, Neil actually produced I did the songwriting for most of the songs, I think for 11, except for Colors, which Neil and myself worked on. So for this album, I wrote majority of the songs, at least when it came to lyrics. Lyrics and melody. And that's it, it. So would you like to know how I started the whole process of?
No, not really.
Not yet?
Yes, I would. Yes. No, no.
I were here.
Well, did we meet you through the Songwriters Roundtable? Is that how we met?
Yes, yeah. So what happened
was... Let's give a plug to that. That's once a month, Songwriters Roundtable, where songwriters of all styles and all levels of accomplishment come out. We meet at the Transat Club here in Toronto, and you get to go up and sing a song, and you get feedback from other songwriters. It's pretty cool. I do remember you very early coming out.
Yeah. Actually, I have to give a shout out to the Songwriters Club, because that was where I met Neil for the first time. I remember on my first my first meeting there, which is, I think, way back in 2014, I played Think of Me, so it was just me and the ukulele.
Yeah, and, I remember that, yeah.
And then, things just happened from there, you know? But it took me a year to... Because I remember talking to you in 2014, Neil, about writing the album or working on the album. And then I just got so busy. I think I was just... I just got into a new job, and I didn't really make the time. But 2015, I was like, bang, let's do it, you know?
Yeah. So now it's released. That's
great. I know. It feels very... very surreal. Because if you had to ask me a couple of years ago, it was just an idea I had in my head, but you know, I just thought, you know what, I might as well go do it. I have all this, I have all these emotions, I have all these words, music, you know, all trapped in my head that I just wanted to bring out.
So, Eddie, how close to your original vision, say of 2 or 3 or even 4 years ago when you first started writing songs, how true to this, to your original vision is this album?
This is actually quite true, believe it or not, because Patrick, I've been writing probably for, I would say, more than 5 years at the very minimum, like maybe 6-7 years. And I always wanted to play, but I kind of, you know, was a little shy. I didn't want to go up, you know, I didn't want to feel like vulnerable in front of people. You know how it is, right? When you go and perform, I mean, everyone over here is a musician.
You're very naked.
Exactly. You're very naked, and you're just like, oh my gosh. What if I fail? What if I make a mistake? People are going to laugh. Am I going to look awkward? You know, Am I going to sweat like crazy? You know, things like that. All these funny things. You know, they kept going through my head. And then, you know, I think it's really just exposing yourself when you keep doing it. Initially, I still remember. So I started playing open mic for the first time this year. And that's where I started actually performing, singing, you know, exposing my music literally in front of people, right? And I remember the first time I went, I was so petrified. Like, I even told one of my friends, hey, and you know, he's a really good friend of mine, Andrews. Like, I told him, why don't you come with me up on stage, just so that I feel okay? And, you know, you pretend to play with me, because he can also play guitar. So mm-hmm. I was like, you just pretend like you're playing, and I'm going to sing and all that. But then, I don't know, just towards the, as it got closer to me performing, I was like, you know what, let me just go and play on my own.
And you did it.
Yeah, exactly.
And now you're getting more comfortable.
Exactly, yeah.
So back to Patrick's question, what do you think was it that made this album true to your vision of the album? What did that take?
An excellent producer, of course.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, an excellent producer.
Who understood your vision, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, Neil, you know, he, in no short ways, Neil, like Neil's, he's been very instrumental to the sound of the album in terms of how I wanted the songs to be. Because I wanted them to, like, I wanted them to be rock, but, like, true to my name, Bade Shelter, evoke a sort of emotion or a theme, right? So initially, okay, to be frank, initially I was thinking more like a couple of years ago, I was listening to Oasis, Green Day, right? So I was envisioning an album like that. But I think as I grew a little bit older, right, my song taste, like it got more eclectic. You know, like I got a lot more influences. So it's changed
you
a little
bit. And I'm just going to ask Neil right now, what did you, when he first approached you, what was your process? I think our listeners might be interested in the relationship between a songwriter and their first producer.
Yeah, so when Eddie first approached me, we had a little meet and greet kind of thing just to reacquaint ourselves. And I immediately got the idea exactly what he was talking about, that all of his songs had a very wide-ranging emotional quality to them. There were some soft ballads, there were some out-and-out rockers. So it's really a question of just really sort of listening to the material. And he sent me demo tracks that he just recorded on his iPhone, him and his guitar and a little bit of extra tracks and things. And so for me, it was really just a question of taking a careful listen to the song and just assessing, you know, what it might want in terms of additional tracks, like in terms of the drumming style, in terms of if it wanted a little bit of piano, a little bit of electric bass or whatever. And then I would add those additional tracks to his recordings. And I guess the key really is to kind of check your ego at the door and say, this is Addie's vision. It's Addie's song. It's Addie's thing. I'm just there as in a supporting role. So I don't want to be too obtrusive with the arrangements.
So would you say that the producer's job is to serve the song, not the album?
What do you mean by serve the album?
Well, serve the song, meaning the song needs certain things. And then there's a vision for the album, which is a collection of songs, right? Which isn't really even true anymore because people are buying everything individually, mostly, right? Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing is that you listen to the tune and you say, what does this particular expression need in terms of production?
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. And in terms of the album, I mean, there were considerations and conversations we had, of course, about, well, this song kind of feels this way. If you want a different variety of something else on another song, mm-hmm. Like one of them that we're actually going to perform tonight, he wrote it as kind of a medium tempo, you know, upbeat rock song. But then Eddie suggested that he wanted really to do it as a piano ballad. So I made the entire arrangement for the piano mm-hmm. and strings yeah. and bass and stuff, right?
Yeah, that's very true.
Why don't we hear something instead of talking in theory about music? why don't you play something for us? What do you want to do first, Eddie?
So I was thinking I could do Who I Am. Mm-hmm. So this song I originally wrote, actually the way I'm playing it right now is the way I had originally written the song. Mm-hmm. It's more of a mid-tempo rocker, but to add a bit of diversity to the album, and this is one of the reasons I'll get into why I decided to slow it down. I'd been listening to, I'm sure you guys have heard of Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
Yeah, oh, he's amazing.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite artists. So I was listening to one of his albums, the Boatman's Call. If you've heard it, it's a beautiful album on piano. So I decided, you know what, let me slow it down, right? And then I asked Neil if he could arrange for that to happen, and, you know, sure enough, that's what happened. So and as it so happens, Nick Cave is one of my, like, he's one of my influences as an artist. So
you're going to do this song that actually is recorded on piano.
No, right now.
On the album.
The original. On the album. Yeah, on the album. On the album, it's recorded on piano, right. A la Nick Cave style. And right now, I'm going to be playing it as, you know, the original.
Okay, so this is Bay Shelter with Adi Aman as lead singer. Who I Am.
Okay, just give me one second.
He's just putting on his...
My little harmonica.
I love harmonica.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, here we go. Who I Am.
Okay. I woke up this morning, put water on my face. Heart started a thumping, like it's running a rat race. To a speaking riddles, when I say I'm learning as I go. Try to avoid the cracks on that old road. Pouring out my soul right now to you. You take me or leave me, it's who I am right now, anyway. Deliberating my thoughts, yeah. Please consider my hopes, yeah. I'm molding out of that snake skin that I'd rather be holding. Not disbelieving that I'll find you waiting for me. We will sit and enjoy a cup of tea. Look back at all the times it took for me to reach your inner sanctum. Makes me who I am anyway. Just one in this wide world. To me, your angels flying through the sky. And even you may fall down sometimes, but I take you regardless, 'cause that is who you are anyway.
Woo! Oh, lovely. That was Who I Am, Adi Aman with Bay Shelter. Beautiful tune, beautiful tune. I listened to it several times on the recording on the album. It's quite a different take on it with the piano.
Absolutely.
It's just gorgeous, gorgeous. And Neil, you did an amazing job with your string sections. I'm a sucker for cellos.
I mean,
put a cello in a song, you know, I'm just gone. Patrick, what do you think of the tune?
You know what? There's some lines in the song. The one that strikes me in particular is that's who I am right now. Who I am right now. Anyway, I just love that line. It's just great. I would have loved to have seen that more, but I mean, it just fits that particular section of the song perfectly. It's really lovely. I love your voice. Man, you got a lovely voice.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm overwhelmed.
I do want to make a point, and I know this, I don't know if this is politically correct, but where are you from, Adi?
I'm from India.
India, right. So English is your second language?
I mean, I grew up most of my life speaking it, but I would say it's my first language.
Okay. You know? But you do speak with a bit of an accent.
Yeah.
But you sound like Bono. And I, which
Thank
I think
you.
Is just
oh my gosh, I'm like, the, I'm like the brown Bono.
which is really interesting. I mean, is that now is it because that's like you sort of listen to that music and then you're just trying to emulate
that's a Mississauga accent.
Yeah, it's a Mississauga accent. Exactly. You know, downtown Mississauga. No, you know what? I actually got into rock music when I was 14, like maybe 14, 15. And yeah, as a matter of fact, I had this phase where I was very into U2. You know, I loved a few of the albums like War, Unforgettable Fire, Joshua Tree, Acton Baby. I even listened to Zurupa, and then
listened to Zurupa.
Yeah, I know.
I like Zurupa.
I think it's great.
It's actually a really good album. Underrated.
That's actually my favorite U2 album because that was the one time they weren't so like right up their butts. You know, they were so you know, strident before, and Zurupa was Zurupa and pop. I love pop too.
When did you come to Toronto? Were you born in India?
No, so I was born in Abu Dhabi, so that's in the Middle East.
Yes,
so I lived there for 15 years.
Okay.
I went to India for 2 years, a boarding school, you know, behind bars and everything. No, I'm kidding. It was the whole experience was nice, like in India. And then I came here back in 2005. Like, I came here to study engineering. And I've been here ever since.
Would you say there's any influence in terms of your writing that informs your writing as coming from Abu Dhabi in India?
No, you know what? Actually, when I was in India, I started writing poems. Like, I actually started doing poetry. I don't know. It was just one of those weird, random things that I started doing, right?
Well, you were trying to express yourself.
Yeah,
as a teenager.
I was this 15-year-old, 16-year-old kid who, I tried to express myself somehow through some way or like, you know, you had some people who did a lot of, they would go and play sports and stuff. And you had some people who liked writing.
Yeah.
Who were more sensitive. So, I guess that was me.
When did you marry it to the guitar?
Marry it. I would say probably 5-6 years after I started poetry writing. So I started poetry writing, I think, in 2003. And I wrote my first song probably in 2007. So, yeah. So, around 4 years, I think.
So add something to the East versus West idea that a lot of Addy's songs, and this is something actually when he was back on this show back in 2014, I remember commenting on, and we all felt this way, that your songs are kind of they're kind of spiritually steeped, right? Like some of them are actually fairly deep spiritually,
absolutely,
right? And I think that kind of and the whole idea of the beige shelter, like the balance between light and dark and happy and sad and all those sorts of
yin
things.
Yin and yang.
Well, yin and yang, right? It tends to be associated with more Eastern philosophical thinking.
Yeah, you know what? That actually makes sense, Neil. Like, I think it's probably a little bit of it does have a spiritual aspect because even growing up, I believed in, the spiritual aspects of, I'm a Hindu. So there's certain things about it that I'm sure have seeped into subconsciously. Like I don't do it intentionally, but I think it's just there, the back burner. You know?
It's who you are. Yeah. It's who you are anyway.
Who I am anyway.
We got a couple of tweets in. We got one from Hema. Love that live performance by Bay Shelter. Thank you, Hema. And one from Sharon. Aren't all songs poetry? That's an interesting song.
We talked about that on the Bob Dylan show a couple weeks ago.
Well, I don't know. What do we think? I mean, is every song poetry? Or
we had this whole discussion when Bob Dylan was on the program.
Yeah, that was a couple weeks ago.
Well, listen, what did we talk about?
Well, I want to get back to this song because this show, as you know, our listeners are listening to us deconstruct this song and see what's working, what's not working. So, Phil, I'll throw in a couple comments here. I really like the fact that it's not a typical verse with a harsh or not harsh, but what do you mean? Big chorus. It's very subtle, and it's got a really laid back feel in that way because it kind of shifts from verse to verse. It's got
a bit of a verse refrain structure.
Got a verse refrain. It's very gentle. And I like it. It's a very sensuous song to me. It just seems to just flow along. Oh. Sensual. Kind of just sort of flows along. And it's very romantic, too. Were we going to play a little clip from the piano version tonight?
When you say that, it makes me wonder what you guys think. Like, you guys have heard the album cut, and you've heard this live version. I don't know for myself which one's better or worse. I don't think that's the question.
Phil's got
it. That song can withstand any treatment, in my opinion. I mean, because this song totally is legitimate this way, and it sounded great.
Yeah.
And it sounded just great on the recording as well. Right?
Yeah. So let's let our home listeners listen to a minute of that recording.
Sure.
Phil, have you got that
handy?
I think I do. Let me just cue it up here.
Okay, we're going to cue up. Got to get the old CD player going. There it is. Okay, that was the album version of Who I Am.
I just feel compelled to say something.
Please.
I put an album out in 2000, whatever year it was, called Days of Rain, which I would think it was here when we were talking about.
Great album, by the way.
Oh, thank
Brilliant
you.
The eighth,
I haven't bought it yet.
You know what? You can hold a grudge all you want.
Days of Rain.
But the eighth song on that album is a song called Who I Am.
Oh, really?
And I think that because the eighth song on your album is this one, is Who I Am. And
wow.
But my song, oddly enough, has Indian instrumentation.
Oh.
Wow.
That is so cool.
Spooky.
That's really cool.
Well, not really. It has a tempura drone that sort of underpins the whole song.
So what do you have? Do you have the sitar, the tabla?
Just a tempura drone. So it's just
It's
just a.
It's interesting. You guys didn't put any of that in. Did you ever cross your mind?
Nope.
With any instruments?
No.
I'm the cultural appropriator. He's.
No. You know what? We figured. You know, the Beatles did such a great job with the sitar, the tabla, and all that. That you know, it'd be hard to they're a hard act to follow.
Well, don't say no.
Wasn't available.
Yeah, he wasn't available.
Tom, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I did.
You have to lean in close there.
Oh yeah, sure. So I mean, this is a wonderful song, and I mean. I always think about different instrumentations, especially for the bass, because it's such a interesting instrument that you can add. My background is piano and composition, so I'm always leaning towards more ideas. And the ideas that Addie and Neil bring are really wonderful. I've had an opportunity to work also with other musicians before and composers. And I really like that mix into the band. I've worked with Michael Dana before. I've worked on an album before, an actual film feature. So I have those influences, and I see always songs from that perspective. And the vibe that Addie brings to the band is absolutely wonderful.
Oh, great, great.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Yeah, and I'm noticing, Tom, you're playing an acoustic bass, which is in the guitar style, not a stand-up. I don't know that I've actually seen one before.
Oh, thank
you.
You
want to hold it up to the microphone? Well, we're actually recording this. So when you see this on YouTube, this video will go up on YouTube. We always videotape both songs, put it up on YouTube on our channel, Song Talk Radio on YouTube. And you'll see this bass. What's the advantage of that kind of style of bass as opposed to a regular electric bass?
We always play a very minimalist set, and I think there's a certain acoustic vibe that Addie always brings, especially with the cajon. And what we try to do is, we really push that forward. We can also rock out, but I mean, we're very minimalist, and then just kind of go from there. I think this bass really adds to the diversity of it, and it's got a really nice tone.
Some of the songs on the, I think they're called sketches, that were on the SoundCloud site.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I hear a fretless bass on some of those?
a fretless bass?
There was, I think, on a couple of the ballads, I did use a sample.
Oh, it's a sample fretless. Yeah, okay, okay.
I just want to make a comment in terms of the introduction of Eastern instrument things. I think the reason that it didn't occur to us to even try something like that, I think because the songs themselves have enough variety. Like, I mean, as much as I'm the producer, I'm also a fan of the music. You know, there's actually a lot of variety on the album. There's ballads, there's rockers, there's things in between. There's, you know, it's all over the place. It's great.
So maybe later in your career, you'll go through your Indian phase.
Yeah, I'll probably whip out the old harmonium. If you guys have you ever seen?
Oh,
the harmonium?
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, really, yeah, you have, right? Yeah.
But you know, nice. But you know, Addy, before you do that, for those of you, for those just joining us, you are listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto. And tonight, our guest is Bay Shelter. Don't forget, we love to hear from you, so tweet in your thoughts to us at Song Talk Radio or via the email at feedback@songtalk.ca. And we'll share your thoughts in real time, and you can become famous just like us. And if you can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned on Song Talk Radio on our resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. And coming up on Song Talk Radio in the coming weeks, we have on November 22nd, talking about Leonard Cohen and all of what he's all about. November 29th, Jordan Paul. December 6th, Melanie Peterson. And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Roundtable meetup on Sunday, November 27th, from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Transat Club. It's free to join on meetup and free to attend the roundtable. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all the juicy details. Back to you, Brucey.
Thank you, Philly. Well, yeah, and you've got a checkout at the end of November if you haven't. That's where Addy got his start, Matt Neal.
Lots of
people who've been on this show, obviously. Some of you may not know this, that this show came directly out of the Songwriters Roundtable at it wasn't at the Transat Club, but Songwriters Roundtable. Sean Patterson started a number of years ago. And we were approached 3 years ago. We just did our third anniversary on CJRU 1280.
In Toronto.
And
you have to see in Toronto.
Yeah, you do, really. So
tweet in from Janice.
It's a tweet.
Album version of Who I Am, also very, very moving.
Damn.
Thank you.
You have to choose now.
I thought you couldn't swear.
Thank you, Janice.
On the show.
Oh, well.
I think you can say damn.
Darn is okay. And damn.
Dag nabbit.
Anyway, this show came directly out of that. So check it out if you're a songwriter in Toronto area on November 27th.
It's also very supportive. Which is
supportive.
Nice.
Yeah, so yeah, no, absolutely.
If you've just started out and you've never written a lot of songs and you're really nervous, man, that's the place you want to be, because no matter what level you are, you'll be accepted for who you are. And
no judgment,
and you'll actually get really good, constructive feedback. Like, you don't have any, you know, there's no one there who wants to be a rock star. There's no one... You know, there's no big egos there. It's just a great, great group of people.
Well, the other thing is we attract a whole all different levels of musical sophistication. We've had people in there who are like, they've been top producers. There's other people just starting out. And the thing I like to remember is that you may hear a gem from somebody who's only been writing for a year. They've got these fresh ears, right? And they just go, maybe a G minor there instead of a G. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we
go into little subtleties like that. So it's a lot of fun. You're going to do another song for us tonight,
yeah,
aren't
you? Yeah. No, for sure.
Anything you want to say before we get to that?
Yeah, I'd like to give a shout out to the Songwriters Club. You know, honestly, without... me stepping into that nurturing environment, I wouldn't have been able to meet Neil or Bruce or even Phil. So, you know, I would encourage even Phil, exactly.
Yeah, Phil from Toronto.
You know, Toronto. I'd like to say that for any person who's willing to, you know, show any art, like any art that they have, you know, well, when it comes to music, definitely do come and check them out, because you'll definitely like the experience.
Yeah,
you know,
thank you.
It's really good. Yeah.
Thank you. So you're going to do a second song tonight, and this one's called Colors. You want to give us a bit of a background on that?
So Colors, actually, Neil and myself wrote. How it started was, so I had this phase. I'm going to link this to a band I used to listen to. I listened to. So you guys may have heard of The National. They're a pretty good band.
Oh, yeah.
So I was listening to one of their albums, Boxer, right? And they have the song called Mistaken for Strangers. So I've been told that colors, the pattern, or at least the theme, the vibe, is taken a little bit from that song, not completely. But basically what I'm saying is I was influenced by them, right? Mm-hmm. And the whole idea of Colors as a song is to bring people together, you know, regardless of where you're from, who you love, gender, right?
Oh, we need to hear that right now, don't we?
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
All right, well, let's hear it musically. Okay.
So, you know, I have to stay true to my needs. I'm doing a slight deviation from it, right? It's not too much. You'll see, it's basically a little bit of an intro, okay, to the song.
Oh, I think we can handle that.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So here's Bass Shelter with Colors.
Summer skies that come together with turning forward the ancient wheels of time, and I feel the love within. Winter nights that keep on shining, the beacon that bonds both of us and I. I'm reaching out again. Take my hand and let me show you all the colors that we blend into. Together we can paint the universe that all the thoughts we feel are true. I've seen places, greeted faces, seen tough shells that hide the softer core, and I'm feeling so inspired. I show my cards, roll the dice, I risk myself just for trust in you. I know it'll be worthwhile. Take my hand and let me show you all the colors that we blend into. Together we can paint the universe with all the thoughts we feel are true. Yes, it's all of these people who add some color to the black and white. We're souls that intermingle, who learn to let our passions ignite. But take my hand and let me show you all the colors that we blend into. Together we can paint the universe with all the thoughts we feel are true. Take my hand and let me show you all the colors that we blend into. Together we can paint the universe with all the thoughts we feel are true.
Nice. Ooh. All right. Colors.
Thank you.
Bass Shelter, Adi Amin.
Very
nice.
Thank you so much.
Very nice. Phil, what do you think?
Oh, it's
you enjoy that tune?
Yeah, no, it's a really neat tune. The interesting rhyme schedule, approaches as well. Not super heavy, tight rhymes in the end, but they seem to work really, really well. It's and got some really nice hooks in it as well.
There's a real nice restraint to the song. I think that's probably sort of a theme throughout too much of the stuff I've heard. there's a restraint to it, and somehow that restraint adds tension and passion to the performances.
Yeah, yeah, actually, yeah, that makes sense.
It's quite. I like the key change in that where the switch over to, I guess it's A.
Neil came up with that. Neil was like, why don't we change up the bridge? So he suggested the A E D.
Now
so.
The song is pitched really low.
Yeah,
was that
playing along with the album, I had my capo on 4. Have you brought this down for the live show? Yes. So is that because you're afraid to be up there or what? Because the recording is actually up in a higher range of your voice.
It's like the full tone higher.
Full tone higher, and I really like it.
But even that was pitched, I thought, low. I mean, because your voice is so strong, certainly in the first song, in Who I Am.
Yeah, your tenor is stronger than your baritone.
Yeah, it's so strong.
Yeah, it was just to add, I mean, I put it a little bit low just to add a little bit of, like a...
color?
Yeah, exactly, color. Yeah.
But put it on, take it a full tone out. Yeah, and just play the first verse for us in that tone. Summer skies that come together. If you would.
The verse, right?
Yeah.
Summer skies come.
Summer skies that come together with turning forward the ancient wheels of time. And I feel the love within.
Yeah, I think that's your key. I think that's your key for that. All right.
Yeah, no, I think it's important actually when you are playing your own songs is to try them in different keys, because sometimes you find... You know, your voice can do things in certain points that it doesn't in others, and you don't realize it. Well, you just need to try.
I'm guessing we're not telling you anything you didn't think of. And you obviously chose that key because that was the key that it sounded right to
well,
you.
Honestly, the key that I chose, I just thought that, it would be different to try,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I didn't... Now that you guys have pointed it out, it probably sounds a little bit better on capo 4.
I'm crazy. I would go. I'd go, even higher. I'd probably.
You know, I mean, it's an interesting conversation because finding keys. Usually for the singer, we want to find the best key that just resonates with their sinuses and their voice, and it's the most powerful note that we want to hit in the chorus.
Right.
And it's just sometimes it's that note. So right. I mean, from a bass perspective, it's I'm always adjusting to the singer, and the capo is his best friend. You know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
You know, I mean, there are some songs, some songs, Addy, of course, have a huge dynamic range. So I always work back from the high note in the chorus, right? So you're going to say, can I comfortably hit that and sustain that? And then I work back to where I have to be for that lower note. But I just to Patrick's point here, you have an astounding Bono
esque,
huh? Bono-esque tenor voice, and tenors rule pop music.
That's
because
true.
that frequency cuts right through
right.
Beautifully, and you have a beautiful voice. So I would just say,
but we've actually got some.
We have a tweet.
We got tweets. We got one in from Heather. Lovely bridge, really rejuvenates the song. Thank you, Heather.
Mm.
Another one from Hema. Color is what a great song and a nice beginning. And another one from Janice. I agree with Phil on experimenting with different keys when writing or covering a song. Thank you, Janice. You're so she's very clever.
You like her when she agrees with you. That's what you like.
We got Hema. I like both versions. The higher one sounds smoother. The grit in the lower one can suit a mood, especially with the theme.
It's almost like sings, like talking to somebody.
Yeah, you're going a bit of a Tom Waits thing there.
Exactly. You know,
take
it's
my
funny
hand and let me show you.
Yeah, no, but I see that quiet low pitch though never works. Like Leonard Cohen, for example.
You know, no, it doesn't.
You know, his career
Tom
went
Waits
nowhere.
Didn't work.
Yeah.
So you can play around with that, but it really is just listening back, and I think. On the album, it's recorded up a tone, right? Because I was reading. What I like to do is, I'm a songwriter too, so I like to play it. And Addy was kind enough to put in the chord charts right above. So I sat down immediately and went, "That's not capo 2; it's capo 4." And it really brightened the song. But,
well, you know, it's funny.
I'm going to learn these.
If you ever do go on tour with someone, and you know, after a while, the singer's voice, especially if you're playing like these really long gigs, like night after night. His voice will get tired, and you're constantly like raising and lowering the key of the song, like one or two frets.
Yeah.
And one time the band actually got completely confused and we were all playing in different keys.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, we had to stop live and actually try to figure out what key we were supposed to play.
You could just go ahead and call it jazz.
They wouldn't have known the difference.
That's true.
Really. So in terms of the songwriting, Patrick, anything that stood out for you in terms of structure, melody, lyric, anything?
I love, like I said earlier, the restraint of it. I mean, it really is it evokes like talking to somebody, very sincerely, very earnestly, sharing these thoughts with somebody across the room. And I think that I have a hunch that that's something that you were going for, and I think does come across.
When you say restraint, Patrick, you're talking about like there's no big chorus that kind of belts.
No, it isn't. I mean, the chorus does. I mean, the biggest note is on the bridge,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, which
do
is.
Do you mean
which is
the
great.
Vocal was restrained as well? Like he was holding.
Well,
back
I think
the melody is
as well, which is
strained.
Which is lovely. I mean, because you're not screaming at somebody. You're not trying to really sell it. You're presenting your thoughts and your emotions.
And that's what's going to work in terms of something that has a meaningful theme of respecting every color, every race, every religion, and respecting each other. I think those songs are dangerous because if you go over to that side where I'm telling you what you need to believe, which this one doesn't at all. So I think the restraint is perfect because now we can listen because it's just a friend talking to us.
Yeah.
Right? Tom, did you have a comment?
Yes. So... Addie's voice is a very powerful voice, and I think a lot of his lyrics are very dialogue-based. Mm-hmm. And I think he finds the best melodies in the oblique counterpoint, which is basically notes just kind of move up and down around where the chord structure is. And like we were just saying in this
last... Did you say oblique counterpoint?
Oblique, yes.
Can you tell our listeners at home what that means?
So what that means is...
Come a little closer.
Sure. Yeah. So what that means is the notes of the melody will rise maybe a tone or up and down while the chords or the harmony will move up and down. So there's not... there are no leaps and bounds in the melody. The biggest leap that we had was in the bridge.
So there's no octave leaps, et cetera, where you might find in a Broadway show or a big take it home now
and
song.
And especially for Addie's voice, this is the oblique counterpoint is very it suits him very well.
Okay, well, there's room to experiment. Then you could do one with it. It just starts off like the rainbow.
Well, certainly with that song, I mean, you sing it that low. When you're at Madison Square Gardens and you're doing your big tour, you could actually sing the last verse a full octave higher and hit it.
You probably could.
Your voice is that good.
I was hoping you were going to do the octave shift at the very end because I think it would have been so powerful.
Thank you, if you
take it down that low in the beginning, you know, we talk a lot on Song Talk Radio about taking people on a journey through a song, beginning, middle, and end, right? Mm-hmm. And holding back in the beginning, giving them a little more, getting them attention, holding back. And if you can leap an octave, like obviously you can do a key change, but that lots of people do a key change at the end, right? But if you jump the octave, I mean, something happens viscerally in people when you do that and you jump to that beautiful tenor. Give it a try sometime, you know,
just
for fun.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like definitely one of my plans is when I'm playing these songs live, you know, you want to have a certain arrangement, but then it's kind of cool to do some improvisation,
sure.
Right? Like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I mean, you don't have to do it the exact same way like John Frusciante and Flea did, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but still, like, that's one of my dreams, you know, to, like, take a song and, you know, just go skip down with it.
So will you tell your bandmates that you're going to improvise or you just do it?
Well, no, I think it'd be good to give them some heads up.
Yeah.
Some heads up.
Yeah. A lot of artists, it's just, it's in D tonight.
It's in D.
All right, go. Okay. And they're in, right?
It's in D tonight.
So where do you see yourself going in the songwriting? I'm not talking about a career necessarily in terms of earning money and that. I'm more interested in where you want to take your songwriting now. You're very good. You got your first album coming out.
Thank you.
It's very good, and it shows talent. Where do you want to take it next?
Honestly, I've been thinking about this, right? For me, songwriting, I would like to take it to a point where I can leave a strong, positive message on listeners, you know, anyone who like I want to tap into emotions of people, right? Like basically make them feel, connect with them on a personal level, right? And I really feel, you know, my songwriting, there's like, I'm sure right now I have certain songs that can do that, but, you know, there's certain, there's a point where I want to get to where, you know, it just comes effortlessly, you know?
Okay, that's through practice.
Exactly,
doing more.
To practice.
So there's no big shift in mind in the next album. You're going to be basically following this emotional song pattern.
Well, I would say not just emotional. I also want... So for my next album, I'm going to be talking, obviously, about personal, you know, feelings and then, you know, certain things that are happening in the world as well.
Okay.
To be very, very frank with you, certain things that I like, certain things that I don't like, I'm going to put them in song.
Okay.
Right?
Where can people find your... Oh, go ahead. I'll get
no,
to that in a minute.
Did you say you went to engineering school?
Yeah, I did.
Are you an engineer?
Yes, I am.
And do you work... So this is like a secondary thing for you?
It's
not in your heart, but in your...
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's... So I do have a day job, you know, but this is very close to my heart. I'm definitely putting in a lot of effort to make sure our music is known and we as a band are known. One of my dreams is to cultivate a following, you know.
Patrick, why do you ask? Is that it seem odd to be an engineer and a songwriter?
No. That engineer is not the issue. It's having to balance a day job or what I would call a straight job with.
We all do that.
Yeah, you know, and it's a challenge because I personally grab any moment I can to work on songwriting, but that is, you know, it gets harder and harder as life goes on. And so, you know, I give full marks to anybody who does it, and clearly
that's
where your heart is. And it's
you know what on that note, I do think, you know, like I admire your drive to grab any moment to write music, because you know, you really need to be very brave, and more than brave, you need to be dedicated to, you know, focus on music full time. I think
it also helps Addy that you're single.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that
I'm single. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
No kids.
Yeah, no kids. No responsibilities.
No attachments.
But
no.
I have a hunch, like you're like so many of us, is that you wouldn't know how not to do it. It's just such a part of you that you wouldn't know how not to write.
We talked about this.
Yeah. I mean.
Has there been a period where you stopped writing and things went sideways for you, or
no? You know what? I've always been writing yeah. To some degree, to some extent. It's just over the last year or so, I've been writing a lot more because we've been recording the album.
Yeah.
But I did have some periods where I just got busy with. But this was like a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you find your discipline? Do you have to search for it? Is it right there every day and you wake up?
Honestly, Bruce, I was just thinking to myself today. It's a bit of a challenge at times because, you know, I have to focus on work. And then at the same time, I want to focus on making, you know, taking effort to promote us. Then I have plans.
What's the name of that album again?
The album is called Rumors We Make, Paths We Take.
Okay, and it's beige. Shelter, those two words. So how can people find this album? Because it's great.
So you can find this album on Spotify, on Apple Music, iTunes, Google Play, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, 8 Tracks. So
what's it cost? Is it like $9.99 or something for all songs?
Yes, it's exactly. Yeah.
Okay, that's reasonable.
Cheaper for Americans because it's Canadian. Is that no.
Exactly.
All you Americans listening there, go out and get this album, Beige Shelter.
It is 12 tracks, so it's less than a buck a song, right?
Oh, it's a bonus. It's a
exactly,
bonus loaded album. Okay. And it's called... Rumors. Say it again.
Rumors we make, paths we take.
Okay, so you went.
So
you went for a short, punchy title.
Yes.
Can I call it rumors? Oh no, somebody's used that. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
somebody may have used that.
Somebody by the first name of Fleetwood has used that. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Fleetwood and his Mac.
His Mac. Yeah. So, any gigs coming up that our Toronto friends could go out and hear you at?
So, we have one that's coming the end of November, November 26th. That's at the Cock and Pheasant Bar in Mississauga. So, we're going to be playing there with a couple of our friends. And then we've got another one, potentially the end of, like, we're still in talks, but the end of December, I would say.
So how do they find out about these things? Do you have a website or do you have a mailing list, an email list or anything like that?
You know, I have a Facebook, but I'm
for,
still
for
working.
For
Beige Shelter. I have a Facebook.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so that's my website. I have an actual website, but that's what I mean. Like, you know, trying to balance and be able to work on that.
Oh, that's okay. So Facebook, Beige Shelter, and you can stay in touch with Addy and the band.
So you know, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on YouTube. SoundCloud.
Twitter,
exactly. And Instagram.
Instagram?
Yeah. Also on Instagram, yeah. I just got it probably a month and a half ago.
Yeah. And it's working.
I just wanted to say that the video we did 2.5 weeks ago for Dark Horse was superb. The editing was superb. Like, Akil did an amazing job. We brought the gear. He brought the talent. And it was just, YouTube, at Beige Shelter, check it out.
Yeah, and again, shout out to him. Anyone, any artist who's interested in doing any music videos, do look up Renegade Films. You'll be really happy.
Does he have a website?
I believe so.
Renegadefilms.com.
Yeah, you're gonna have to Google Renegade Films.
Yeah.
So
incubator, I think. Well, it's the wrong word, I think. But for you can sit in your basement and write a song and think it's the best song ever. But then when you go play it live for the first time, you can sort of read the audience's face and realize that it's maybe not connecting at all.
Like, we're so lucky in Toronto. We have a lot of open mics that are friendly and supportive. Yeah. What's your favorite open mic in Toronto? Is it Free Times?
Oh, of course.
Free Times.
How could it not be Free Times?
Because I think I hear the band coming in.
Yes, well, that's all the time we have tonight. It went so quickly.
Thank you so much.
And it was so great to have you guys. And we had Addy Aman on guitar and vocals, Neil Modi on percussion, Tom Kaczynski on bass. Karen Sabarwal was not able to be here tonight. He's the guitar with Beige Shelter. And they were here in Song Talk Radio's studio at Ryerson. Send us your impressions via Twitter at Song Talk Radio, email at feedback@songtalk.ca, Facebook and YouTube at Song Talk Radio, or stop by the site at songtalk.ca. That's a treasure trove, that site. There's just everything there. And Neil and both Phil and Neil work very hard on that site. It's beautiful. It's a thing of beauty. Also, subscribe to the Song Talk Radio podcast. We have now over 150 shows up on podcast, and you can listen to them all. Just, you never need to go out or take them on your little iPod. And they're at iTunes, songtalk.radio/iTunes. Don't forget to sign up for the free newsletter. It's coming soon, apparently, at songtalk.ca. You can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned on Song Talk Radio. I should put my album up there, I guess, shouldn't I? Sure. On our resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. Now, one more reminder, if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Roundtable meetup, Sunday, July 20... no, it's not. It's November the 27th. Typo. Sunday, November 27th, 1 to 4 at the Transac Club. That's in the Bathurst and Bloor area. If you haven't been there, it's a great club. They have these rooms. There's music all the time everywhere. They've been around for like 30 years. You've probably played there, Patrick.
I have not.
Okay, get over.
You should.
Get over on the 27th. We'll see you there. And stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all the details. We would like to thank CJRU 1280 AM for over 3 years of support. Thank you, Vanessa Vreeland, for handling the social media channels. And thank you, Phil, tonight, sitting in for Eitan, who had to do her day job or something, right? Yeah. And doing your magic on the board. And we're wrapping up now. I'm going to speak more quickly. Thanks to the home listeners, wherever in the world you are. If you're on Twitter, you can follow Neil at
Mondo Art.
Phil at
The Phil Emery.
Vanessa at, I don't know, she's in the other room. Never mind. It's fine. Don't follow me. It makes me nervous. You can follow Addy at?
You can follow me at Beige Shelter.
You can follow Patrick at?
PatrickValentine.com.
Wow. He's got a .com. And please stop by our website again, songtalk.ca. Browse past shows. Find out who you can be a guest on the show. Good night.